time to talk to me today.
Not at all, thank you.
Disorientated because I couldn't sleep last night after watching.
Oh, bless you. Saw it yesterday.
I saw it yesterday.
I don't blame you. I was in exactly the same boat the day after I watched it. I was really disturbed.
Absolutely disturbed. I woke up with blazing sunlight as well and I was like, show up.
Yeah, exactly. That's the really cruel thing about this movie is you can't take, you know, you can't find sort of safety in the sunlight afterwards.
No.
It's like, it's a horror film, so I'll watch it in the day. Like, big mistake with Midsommar. Watch it at night, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. It is one that the sun is no longer trustworthy.
Yes, exactly. Ari Aster spoiled the sun for everyone.
Well, congratulations on such, I think, one of my favourite films of the year.
Oh, amazing. Thank you.
How do you feel about it being released in England? And
super excited. Really excited. I think summer being kind of a perfect time for it as well. And I just feel really honoured to be something that, you know, that feels kind of just so sort of artistically well executed, and I think, you know, to be part of this amazing cast and have it be directed by someone is sort of exciting, and I think sort of like genre defining as Ari Aster is a very kind of a rare and special thing to be a part of.
Well, what drew you to your project? Was it Ari Aster and Hereditary and his kind of already legacy from one film?
Yeah, interesting to think about it like that. I think I was really excited at the prospect of being part of a film that felt so unique and so daring, but I was concerned, if I'm honest, about whether there was anyone who could actually execute it. And those kind of hesitations and doubts were quickly extinguished after I watched Hereditary and I met with Ari and I watched all of his short films. I was like, oh, this guy's a complete genius. I would be so lucky to be any small part of his next thing. And so very glad that I was. And it takes a really special filmmaker, I think, to handle both the visual and narrative challenges presented in Midsommar as well as Ari did.
And what he does so well, especially with your character, is that your character's quite an archetype, typical jock. The kind of dickhead that you kind of want to see his comeuppance come up, but it's done in such a unique way. How did you approach that role?
Yeah, that's so interesting. For me, it was interesting to play a character who kind of projects one thing and I think internally feels another. You know, I'm not an apologist for Mark whatsoever. I was very aware and kind of wanted to embrace the fact that he was this regressive, out of touch, out of date male who was very problematic, so as to kind of hold him up as an example of sort of what not to be. You know, I think Mark is kind of, you know, for any young men watching, it's like Mark is someone who should not exist any longer in society because, you know, he shouldn't be suffered anymore. But to play what he projects, which is sort of confidence and kind of, you know, boisterous sort of, you know, self-importance, when I think actually what he really feels is self-loathing and insecurity, was very interesting. And Ari really wanted me to play that. And in the moments where, the rare moments where you see Mark alone or in a one-on-one interaction with a woman, you quickly see just how sort of inept he is from a sort of emotional intelligence perspective and also, you know, in terms of confidence. And that was fun to play.
Yeah. And what I love about him is how imposing he is, even just smoking his vape just feels rude.
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It feels part of the sort of the package that is Mark, really, that vape, and obnoxiously sort of blowing it in the faces of other people without an apology even sort of vaguely crossing his mind.
And it's a great performance. Were there any characters like that through like horror history that you were kind of basing it on?
Do you know what, I haven't watched a lot of horror, if I'm honest, so no, but I think Mark unfortunately is kind of an amalgam of people that maybe we all know or have unfortunately crossed, you know. He sort of embodies kind of all of the sort of classic traits what's often labeled as toxic masculinity, you know.
Yeah, and you could definitely make a case for him representing rude tourists.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah, and people just have no capacity for cultural variation and very little ability to sort of appreciate what is other or what is different. Yeah.
Yeah, especially the tree bit.
Yes, yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. And I mean, the idea that he's gone to Sweden and hasn't even contemplated that there might be, you know, extended periods of sunlight, and because of its positioning on the globe, that like maybe there's a slightly different, you know, weatherscape. Like the fact that hasn't crossed his mind is so funny to me, but also deeply worrying as well. Like we kind of openly discussed that idea, like maybe Mark just was not expecting that until he got out there.
And I, because for Mark, for me, is someone that I don't know why he went. Like, it's the others you can tell, but you're not sure why he tagged along.
Yeah.
Almost like he's assuming that this is kind of like a drinking normal festival.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. And interesting to see that, you know, because I was talking to Ari about this, and like, why is he friends with a group of academics? And how does Mark have any currency in that group? And I think that Mark pays his way with jokes, I think rather like a jester in order to kind of survive. He sort of has to try and be funny. And while a great deal of what comes out of his mouth is mean, and he's obviously sort of, you know, often detracting from the people and things around him, you know, occasionally he makes one of those jokes that you laugh with, as opposed to kind of laughing at him. Occasionally he makes a joke where no one sort of gets hurt, and it's like not problematic. It's just funny and kind of, you know, perceptive enough that, you know, he's able to kind of like pay his way to sort of, you know, maintain a place in the group. But you also feel like Mark is that kind of friend that is only going to sort of be around for so long before people drop him, realizing that like he is, you know, just a bit of an idiot, or something else worse might happen without getting into spoiler territory.
I do like the fact that he does, spoilers for anyone, go missing, and no one really thinks to he's just so run off with a girl.
Yeah. and no one's that bothered. And then also there's this idea that, like, you know, Mark is all sort of bravado as well, and kind of like and toxic bravado at that, and you know, sort of likes to think of himself as someone who is you know, kind of very sort of attractive to women, which is bizarre if you think about it in all senses. And so when he does you know, disappear, you'd think that if people were genuinely kind of, you know, more invested in Mark as a personality, then they'd be more concerned by him missing, because actually the idea of him being with a woman alone is in itself like hard to believe. So it's a funny one. I think thinking about the future of Mark in that friendship circle, it doesn't last long, I don't think, in my mind.
No, exactly. Yeah. And he does give Danny a hard time as well. So
yes,
a really hard time, even in her dreams.
Yes, even in her nightmare. Yeah, and Florence does such an amazing job of kind of, you know, subtly and maturely sort of, you know, not stooping to Mark's level as Danny. And yeah, we spoke a lot about that dynamic, you know, about how the two of us sort of interact and what Mark's place is in the friendship group when it comes to Danny's involvement. And there was sort of opportunities for kind of humor, but also to explore some real kind of tension there too.
Yeah, it's almost like he sees her as the Yoko Ono of their friendship group.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then I'm the sort of Beatle that actually didn't have any talent and never made it in the band. Was there briefly when they were on tour.
Yeah.
It was like an unwanted sort of hanger-on when they were on tour.
Like a roadie or like...
There you go, yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that fascinates me about horror films and starring in horror films like this, especially with this film, I don't want to get into too much spoilers, what is it like watching those end scenes back and seeing yourself like that?
Yeah, I'm wondering if I can sort of even talk about it without sort of full-on spoiler territory, but it was scary and unexpected. You know, I'd obviously read a description of what it would look like, but to actually see it on screen was really unnerving and very unsettling. And it's also opened up a few questions about what actually is going on there. Like, I've had a few people ask me, like, was that you? Like, are you there even for that? Like, what's going on? It is quite a cool and pretty chilling reveal.
Yeah. I mean, are you there for Or did you have to wait until you watched the film to
see? I had to wait until I watched to see the film, actually, yeah. And I kind of got sent some images of what it might look like prior or during the kind of shooting of that scene. But no, it wasn't until I watched the film that I actually saw it.
Oh, and it's a very indelible image.
Yeah, oh, well, that's good. That's Ari does that well.
We've touched upon it briefly, but what is it like working with Ari Aster and mad genius that he is?
Yeah, no, he really is kind of a mad genius. You know, I think the opportunity to work with a director who has such an incredibly deft sort of hand when it comes to the visual side of things, and you know, this kind of, you know, beautiful elaborate camera work and amazing grasp on imagery and lighting, you know, paired with a DOP who he struck up an amazing and very successful partnership, Pavel, who did Hereditary, also shot this film, you know, and then have him be so, you know, emotionally invested and understanding of your characters is really a rare combination. You know, I felt like Ari at all times was in control of the visual side of things, but then also, you know, always available to take questions on your character and guide you emotionally, and everything has to be authentic. And for as psychedelic, trippy, or as kind of theatrical as something may seem, it all has to be sort of rooted in some form of reality and kind of something inherently human. And that's what's great about Ari. That's what makes him super special.
Absolutely. Were there any difficult times filming, especially in that sun and in because you filmed in Budapest, right?
Yeah, Budapest.
Was there anything tricky about filming a horror in the sun?
Well, yeah. I mean, from a technical perspective, it's sort of, you know, it's quite unconventional, obviously, yeah. You know, and I think sort of embracing the sunlight was something that we did increasingly more and more throughout the process. And Ari, I think, kind of recognized an opportunity to sort of go against, you know, the genre tropes in that way and try and make being out in the sunlight actually more disturbing than, you know, being in the dark. So really, you know, darkness plays a very, very small and brief role in this movie, and it's the sunlight and environments that lure you into a false sense of security with their beauty that are actually the darkest and most sinister.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, it's good to see you working with Jack Rayner again on a similarly sinister role.
Yeah.
Where you kind of like pair up against,
yeah.
against someone. How was that working with him again?
Yeah, you know, this is my third movie with Jack, because we met on a film called Glassland, where we played best friends. This is kind of, you know, another occasion where we're playing best friends. So not too challenging for me in terms of having to play his best friend at this point. but great, you know, Jack's a fantastic actor, a very smart guy, a cinephile. And, you know, I really hope that we continue to do more films with one another.
That's good. Yeah. And did you get the main four and Florence, did you guys get to work on your dynamics before shooting? And
yeah, we did. There was a lot of table time and a lot of discussions around the characters and their relationships with one another. And that was great. You know, Ari really encouraged that. We also did an improvisation at a restaurant where we all went in character and we cooked our own food at this restaurant in character, which was super fun and very different to anything I'd done before, but very helpful. And actually the pre-production on Midsommar was one of the, you know, most favorite experiences I've had.
Wow. Yeah. And what did you cook as Mark?
Well, it's funny. I was paired up with Wilhelm, who plays Pele.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really like cooking, but because I was playing Mark, I just actively didn't help that much. And I just ate stuff before it was cooked. And I was loud and obnoxious. And I actually want to find the couple that we were next to and apologize to them, because I'm pretty sure I ruined their date. They were on this really cute date making this like pancake dessert. And I was just like swearing and shouting and like throwing enoki mushrooms at Pele. And like, I mean, I was being a real asshole, but you know, it was work. So yeah, but hopefully I didn't take it too far and, you know, be annoying.
Yeah.
Too annoying. I was annoying. That's for sure.
What I've really enjoyed is that your career has gone really to like darker roles and characters, even in The Maze Runner as Gally in the first one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So what draws you to these like darker, more insidious characters?
Yeah, that's interesting. I kind of like playing sort of characters who are conflicted or have a kind of duality to them. You know, I think that was true of Gally. He was one of those people who was I think ultimately trying to do the right thing, believed in you know, loyalty and you know, faith and the strength of community. But you know, he was harsh as well and would often do kind of brutal things in order to protect what he believed in. And so he could come across as sort of like, I think at times, you know, bordering on villainous. So that was interesting with him. And yeah, you know, I've liked having the opportunity to play characters who have sort of, you know, layers and are complex and aren't just sort of, you know, one dimensional. That's something I've been really fortunate to do on a couple of occasions. But I credit, you know, the writers and the directors that I've worked with, yeah, as far as giving me the opportunity and drawing it out of me.
Yeah, you are so good at doing them. I think my favorite recently, apart from this, is The Little Stranger.
Oh, right. Thank you.
Some really good kind of haunting roles that you do.
Thank you so much. I mean, I was so lucky to work on that. Lenny Abramson is one of my favorite directors and has been, you know, ever since I saw what Richard did with Jack Rayner.
Yeah.
you know, he's an exceptional director. Like, I just think Lenny's also one of the most emotionally intelligent people I've ever met, yeah, as well. Like, we're lucky in society that Lenny Abramson is making films, and he will do a lot of good and contribute amazing things doing that. But like, Lenny Abramson could be, you know, running a country. I feel like he's just such a special person.
Yeah, and you have ticked off some impressive directors like Bigelow and Iritu.
Yeah, I've been really lucky. You know, and it's funny, like when you say like Bigelow and Iritu and Abramson, like I honestly put Astor up there. Like, I really, yeah, like feel like I worked with a great. I just worked with him on his second film as
completely
opposed to his 10th.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't believe it's a second film.
It's crazy to think about, right? Yeah, it was like, it was short films, then it was Hereditary, and then it's Midsommar. It's like, what? It's just crazy. And for anyone who hasn't seen his short films, I would definitely go and watch them. They are stunning, stunning.
He's too talented.
He is.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
And nightmare-inducing.
Yeah. But horrifyingly, nightmare-inducingly talented.
That's talented. Him. Would you ever work with him again?
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat. In, yeah, a heartbeat. Like, and I was actually discussing this recently, that like almost blind faith style. It just, Ari said, you know, what are you doing in January? Do you want to do my next thing? Yep. Like, you know, I mean, I would make sure I read the script, but only because, you know, I would want to make sure that I sort of like served the story correctly. But whatever Ari's doing next, I'm interested. And if I can crowbar my way in, I will do my best.
Amazing. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for
thank you. Speaking to me today.